Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And it is, as always, a great word this morning. It's a great word because God is awesome. God is mighty. God is everything. He is my everything. He is my friend. He is my daddy. He is my provider. He is my everything. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just knowing how good he is. I came home from my mini trip to homecoming at my college on yesterday, and it was a busy day because I was praise leader at church, and then we had choir rehearsal for the children, and then we had dinner, and then I had to come back for a meeting, and it was like, okay, I'm going home, and I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I came home, and X, Y, Z was me going to bed, and that is what I did. And I slept so good that I didn't want to get up this morning, but I'm grateful, 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 grateful. As I say every day, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that God gave me another day, that God woke me up, that God put a pep in my step, that God said, oh, it's time to get up, kid. And that's what I did. And I'm grateful to be with you this morning, family, because you are my family. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you getting up in the morning to come and listen in. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come in and take some time to go with me through the word of God. And all I can say is it is a good word today. It's a really good word today. You know, we're going to be in Jeremiah this morning. And all I can say is, wow. You know, everybody wanted to call him a crying prophet. Oh, he's a crying prophet. Jeremiah cried because of the atrocities. Jeremiah cried because he couldn't take Israel going through what it was going through and what it was going to go through. And as we see today what's happening in Israel and Gaza and the atrocities that are happening, it just makes you want to cry, because those of us who have read the word know that it's a family feud going on. They're all children of God. They're descendants of the remnant. Some are displaced. some are just came to seek shelter and a home. And I can imagine those that lived through the Holocaust, seeing what's going on, is reminiscent of what their forefathers went through. We have to pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for kindness. We pray that folks remember the commandments of God to not covet their neighbor's house, to not steal, to not kill, to not disrespect your parents, to love God. And as Jesus said, to love God first and foremost with your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we pray today, that those that know the Lord God, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and who are filled with the Holy Spirit, will speak out, that God will send major prophets to prophesy to Israel, to prophesy to the folks in Gaza. What thus saith the Lord? To come together as family. Our world is on the brink. It's like a teeter-totter, and we need to pray for stability. Heavenly Father God, we pray for stability in the Middle East. We pray for you, Father God, to show up and show out there, to show Hamas that they have no power, that you are more powerful than they ever will be, that no terrorist organization is more powerful than you, that you will take them out and not hurt another soul, another innocent soul. That you will show Israel you cannot take what is not yours to take. You cannot take a people and treat them less than they are. Because what happened to you, you're doing it to them. How did you feel when you were placed in ghettos? How did you feel when you were slaughtered? How did you feel when what was done to you by those that were hateful and did not know me? But you are my people. You are called by my name. Lord, I'm praying for them to know who you are and that you love them, but they don't have to steal, kill, and destroy others. Because you love all of your children. You grafted in the Gentiles. That they are part of your family. And you want your family to get along. Father God, I pray for leaders. The leaders of the Palestinians, the leaders of Israel. That they will see war doesn't do anything but destroy. And that, Lord God, I pray for you to put a covering over your children, especially the babies, the pregnant mothers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the infirm, God. I pray your covering over them. Lord God, let doors open for those that are fleeing this awful conflict. God, I will not call it a war. I will call it a conflict because I know conflict can be resolved. Father God, I pray that the words that come from Jeremiah will be a reminder of what was and can happen if we don't do what's right. Father God, I pray for this nation. For we see the rise of those that hate and that we can be in the same position if those in power are like those that are in power in Israel, who decide that a certain group of people should not live in community should not live at all in this nation. Father God, I pray for peace, for love, for joy. Father God, I pray for our nations. I pray for this planet and ask you, Father God, as we have seen the eclipse, God, is showing things in the world that everybody will know you are God and that you can cover the sun to make it look like an eye looking down at us. For it is your eye looking on us, saying, I'm not pleased. Lord God, you gave us this beautiful planet. And we're asking you, Lord God, to please not destroy mankind. Please don't take us out, God. For we are yours and you are ours. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the safe travel of those who traveled this weekend, bringing them home safely. I thank you, Lord, for my pastor bringing her home safely from her rest and relaxation, Lord God, as you brought me safely home and those that I love home as well. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father God, I ask your covering over all those that travel the highways and byways and skyways and trainways, Lord God. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And Lord God, put a hedge of protection over this nation and over all the nations of the world, God, that trust in you and believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was reading the words from Jeremiah this morning, you would think that Jeremiah was living in today, giving warning today. And what he said in chapter 17, which we will be reading, Jeremiah 17, 18, and we will be also in our Proverbs this morning and Psalms. Our Psalm is Psalm 118, verses 25 through 29. Our proverb is chapter 27, verses 11 through 12. And we will also be in Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And our title is coming out of Jeremiah. And our title for this morning is, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Are you trusting in God today? Are you trusting in the Lord today? Are you trusting in our Lord God? Are you trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting today? And it says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images. By the green trees on the high hills, or my mountain in the field, I would give a plunderer your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you even yourself shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. But you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Can you hear it? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, but he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Can you say it with me? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when it heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. Whew. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, and who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. We've got to pray for healing of this planet, healing of our world. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have hurried away from being a shepherd who follows you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You know what came out of my lips. It was right there before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. Let them be ashamed to persecute me, but do not let me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but do not let me be dismayed in the day of doom, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourself, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ears, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Did the war stop on the Sabbath? It did not. For a child to be going on the Sabbath. Yes, they were. Is God pleased? No, he is not. And he tells us in the word, and it shall be if you keep me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but how the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowlands, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifice, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you shall not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. And as we go back to a couple of life lessons from Jeremiah chapter 17 and 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. God made us for a dynamic and deep relationship with himself, and trying to replace him with anything else will always result in a curse. We are to find ours in him, not in ourselves. Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? O God, know that human heart. We cannot understand the twists and turns and deception, the dead ends of our own hearts. So when our hearts condemn us, we turn to the maker of our hearts. 1 John 3:20. So we're going to go over to 1 John 3:20. Just to get this word in context. 1 John 3:20, if you have your Bible. And it says, do you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all you know the truth? And to get it in context, when we go, and I'm sorry, that was actually 2:20. Let me go to 3:20. And it goes on, it tells in 3:20 that we should love one another, to put it in context. And we're going to go to verse number 16. And it says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 20. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Verse 20, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. And let's just continue. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Starving and taking away water and heat and electricity from people who are in need and were always, had already been in need. It's heartless. I don't care if it's war or not, to take basics, water from people, electricity and food. It's heartless and not a God. And I understand it's war, but there are people in the hospital. There are people on oxygen. There are people who are sick. And it is heartless not to care and understand what you do to others, God will do to you. We better understand we are in conflict with God. And we want for the Middle East, we want the best for Israel. I was making plans to go to Israel. That y'all know, because y'all been with me, that is my bucket list, to be baptized in the Jordan. But you can't go to a place that's got war going on. We can pray peace and pray for the heartless on both sides to be taken out by God, so that there can be peace, so that there can be an understanding that we are family and we need to come together. Because they were living in peace before the United Nations created the Israel of today. Israel was living in peace. There was Israel already there. Jerusalem was already there. Hebrews were already there. And the United Nations came in and decided that it would be done this way, that way, and then you had a war. Because they started taking away the homes of the people that lived there. They start taking away lands that have been in families for thousands of years. History is important. His story is important. And we need to learn it, because then we know we can't take sides. We got to pray for both sides to come to the realization that on both sides are people who are dying and who are suffering. As leaders in their big fancy houses with all their money can pack up and leave, but the poor and the needy cannot. Those that plan war and destruction, they can go hide out, but the poor cannot. The casualties of war have no say in what's going on. And we pray for those that have no say. We pray for those that are dying, women and children, and the elderly, the disabled, who have, say, no dog in the fight. Our children that are being called to go to war and seeing atrocities that they will never forget. We have vets today that have come from being in the Middle East who are still suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Can you imagine children suffering from PTSD? We gotta pray. I feel that because it breaks me down to see people hurting and to see the people in Israel hurting, to see the people in God being displaced and moved out and bombed and just basic necessities taken away, like water and food and shelter. Why? Because some violent men decided to do horrible things. Got to trust God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. We've got to pray. And it says the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look at the clay is in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand. O house of Israel, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devastating a plan against you. Return now every one from his evil way and make your way and your doing good. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Will the cold flowing water be forsaken for strange waters? Because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths and not on a highway, to make their lands desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be and shake his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then they said, come and let us despise friends against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of those who contend with me. Shall evil be repaid for good? For they have dug a pit for my life. Remember that I stood before you to seek good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives become widows and bereaved of their children. Let their men be put to death, their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a truth suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel, which is against me to slay me, provide no atonement for their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight, but let for you deal thus with them in the time of your anger. Jeremiah prayed again, because he got tired of being the one that they wanted to attack and kill, because he was saying what the Lord told him to say. But we all understand that when the Lord speaks, everybody is not ready to listen. Everybody is not ready to trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in God. We've got to believe that God will and God does provide. And it says this in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. Look at the date in the potter's hand. Look at the clay in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God wants to mold us and shape us into something of indescribable beauty. The process is not quick, nor does it always feel pleasant, but we can trust the hand of the potter to finish what he has stated. God will finish what he started, because he's faithful to perform what he says he will perform. The process of spiritual growth. Young Christians often complain that the Christian growth process feels slow and tedious. They become discouraged and stop going because they want instant knowledge and maturity without going through the time and effort that it takes to mature in their faith. Seasoned Christians have some of the most difficulties, only in a different way. They perceive themselves as having all the knowledge necessary to live the Christian life, so they stop growing and risk becoming hardened to the intimate love of God. The Lord has a solution for both of these spiritual problems. It is called being molded into the likeness of Christ, and it's much more than a 1 or 2 year process. Though we may grow abundantly as children of God, and fall so much in love with Christ that there is no time for boredom or pride. As we allow the Lord to shape and mold us, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, Corinthians 15:49. Being molded and shaped into Christ's image, however, can take many twists and turns we don't expect. It can take longer than we thought and involve events we never imagined. We might not be able to discern the shape of the face or part of picture the Lord wants to make out of us, so we may resist its work to our own detriment. Yet the Lord says to us, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. As Elizabeth Elliot said, holiness is God's loving purpose for us, and it is the equivalent of joy in God's kingdom. Holiness is a priority with God. When we seek to be like Christ, we seek holiness. But in order to become holy, we must submit ourselves to the shaping and molding of God's loving hands. Clay cries out to be molded into something beautiful. The potter longs to mold and shape your life. Allow him to take whatever time he needs to create in you a joy and devotion of immeasurable worth. We got to trust God. We got to believe that it is going to work out. Everything will work out for our good. Next, we go to the 118th Psalm, verses 25 through 29. It says, say now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us life. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Proverbs 27:11-12. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. And as we go into our life lesson for Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12, a prudent man perceives evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Trusting God does not mean that we turn off our brains or skip through life without any thought about our surroundings or the challenges we face. Fools remain oblivious. The wise stay alert and take appropriate action. We've got to take appropriate action. We've got to be prepared to do what God says do, to love God. We've got to love each other. We've got to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord is what we must do. Are you trusting in God today? Are you just doing you? And it says this, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. But you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. We don't want to have our labor in vain. All want to see the fruit of our labor in the vineyard. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desired to see us as we also see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our affliction and distress, we were confident concerning you by your faith. But now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And as we go up to the life lessons from 1 Thessalonians 3 and 7. In all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. There is little so comforting as seeing your believing friends and loved ones growing closer to the Lord, who might you be able to encourage right now through your own growing faith. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13. That he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible very often connects holy living with the return of Christ. The second coming is not a doctrine to satisfy our curiosity, but a truth meant to inspire us to living wholeheartedly for God. Is your living in vain? As the clock just says, no. We are not living in vain. We are living for the Lord, and He is coming back. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I know it's early, but that's all the word we have for today. Please keep Mother Valerie in your prayer. She's not feeling well, and she is trying to get ready for her trip. So please keep her lifted up. We ask God for His healing power, and we ask God to continue watching over her as she is God's kingdom. So please keep Mother Valerie in your prayers this morning. And as we get ready to wrap up, I have a prayer from our prayer book and a word from Sister Carolyn this morning. And from Sister Carolyn this morning, our word for today. And I've always, our sister is on point with a great word. And it says, God will give you His strength in your struggle. Have a motivated Monday. And our word for today is trust in the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord. We got to trust in God. And I'm going to say it one more time. Our word for this morning. And it's blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. And as we say that, we can go right into Sister Carolyn's words. God will give you His strength in your struggles. Have a motivated Monday. When you trust in the Lord, you will be blessed. Come on now. And God will give you His strength in your struggles. Praise the Lord this morning, saints. Praise God, for He is your strength. As the song says, strength like no other reaches to me. And that's what we want, that strength that reaches to us. Thank you, Pastor Murphy, for that song. You know, you are our strength. Strength like no other reaches to me. And as we go into our word for this morning, in our prayer book, 365 for this October 16th day of this redemption. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive, Genesis 15:20, New King James Version. And I love that word one more time. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And it says, Redeemer, you are rich in love to all. You are the master restorer who takes broken things and makes them new again. You do not fix with tape and glue, temporarily putting things back together. You use the best materials and replace the broken parts with brand new ones. You don't treat us or our broken lives haphazardly. You take incredible care in your work of healing and restoration. I ask that you fill me with that same attention to detail. I want to bring my whole heart to the table in what I do, and especially to my relationships. When I serve, let me do it with a heart of compassion. I don't want my obedience to your law or love to become superficial or hasty. More about appeasing my own ego than it is about others knowing your great mercy for them. Your way is always better, and I want to reflect you well, not like a smudged window. You take the worst situations and somehow use them to bring benefit to our lives. You are so wonderful. And the question for this morning as we get ready to wrap up is this. Have you seen God's redemption in terrible situations? Have you seen God's redemption in terrible situations? And I say, yes, I have. And I thank God from bringing us through. God is good, and He's good all the time. Keep lifting up each other. keep letting everybody know that you are a child of God and that you love by him, that he is your absolute, he is your friend, and you are a friend of God. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. If there's anyone that has a word, now's the time to push that one on your phone. If not, we're wrapping up a little early, but I got to go to work, and I'm sure many of you have things to do today as well. Keep God first. Keep trusting in him. Keep knowing that you are never, ever, ever, ever alone, that he is always there. And as we lift up those that are in conflict, we pray for healing and restoration in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed, my family. Be blessed and know that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that you are loved by him. Have a great day. It's a wrap.